Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What do we got here, Solana? I'm guessing this is a little Cinco de Mayo flavor. What do we got?
So it's Vicente Fernandez. And it is a little Mexico Cinco de Mayo flavor. This song is called Mexico, like Mexico Lindo y Querido.
I love it. Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. A lot of people like to drink on Cinco de Mayo.
Anything else to do?
A lot of people like to drink on Cuatro de Mayo. Siete de Mayo. Ocho de Mayo. Nueve de Mayo.
Does it have to be de Mayo? I enjoy it in February and March, too.
Cinco de Abril. Cinco de Febrero.
Get you.
Spanish. That's your month, Solana. Febrero. That's your month, man.
Febrero.
The Heat stunk last night. I don't know what to tell you. If you didn't see the game, they stunk. So,
help. We need some help.
It reminds me of when you said that. You told that story once of going to dinner with some old, really wealthy dude. And anytime he needed service from a waiter, he would just yell, help, help, help. Right?
It was in Naples. I thought he was having a heart attack the first time.
Weirdest story, man. And you're not exaggerating on that story?
Not at all. He'd just start screaming, help. And then people would run over, more ice in my water, please. And they'd shut her on off, and then he'd scream, help, help.
But he just needed ice in his water or napkin, and he would yell, help.
Yep. He would scream, help. I'm talking about, like, Naples, you know, 10,000 square foot home. Like, this was big
right.
money, and I guess he got used to it. Yeah.
Man. That's what I was watching the Heat last night, and I was picturing that guy. And I've never even met him. Help! Help! That guy was coaching the Heat last night. Help!
Hell, Spo put everybody in, too. Spo was trying to find it.
Spo's looking down the bench. Help! Help!
UD stood up. No, not you. Not,
not
you,
on this people. One. Not on this one, big dog.
Get you next time, big man.
And then the Bam haters are out after the game last night. So I did get it funny. Talk about timing. I just got a press release from my friend at Eric Esteban over at Bally Sports. Bally Sports Sun just announced, Inside the Heat, Bam Adebayo debuts Friday night after the Heat Timberwolves game. So I hope he has a better game on Friday.
Doesn't he have to?
Help. Yeah, you know what?
11? I think he has to do better than that.
Yeah. Help. Help. The Marlins last night. So I didn't feel comfortable betting the Heat game. If you were listening to the end of the show yesterday, I was like leery of the Heat -3.5. And at the end of the show yesterday, we thought Jimmy Butler was playing. And I was just leery of it. And then we looked at the Luka Doncic over-under. I think it was 24.5. I don't know. I couldn't come up with a wager. So last night, we get off the air. You know, it's like 6 o'clock, about 5 after 6. I say, you know what? Marlins are starting at 6:40. I'm going to put in a little parlay here because we had won that parlay, the Panthers parlay, the night before. And I said, let's press it up here. Let's see what we got. And I parlayed for us the Marlins to win. They were a favorite. They were -140 or so. Sandy Alcantara was on the mound, so we like him. So I parlayed the Marlins to win with over 7.5 runs. And then they went on to put up a huge eighth inning, and we cashed another big parlay ticket last night. We're on a little bit of a roll there.
You're hitting them now. You're hitting them, Hawk. Yeah. Keep them rolling, baby.
We are on a bit of a roll here. Our bookie is yelling, help! Help! Help!
Don't help him. Nobody
I'm not
going
to try not to. I've helped him too much.
Yes. Just some time for some get back.
We have a loaded potato today on this Wednesday. Danny Cannell is going to join us. We love talking with Danny Cannell. We're going to talk with a business and restaurant writer from the Orlando Sentinel today, Austin Fuller. He has covered this White Castle opening in Orlando that we were fascinated with on Monday when there was a six-hour wait to get sliders. So I thought we'd hear from someone who actually... you know, saw it and can maybe explain what the fascination. I like sliders. Don't get me wrong. I like sliders. 6 hours, though? Oof. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Can't be no cow. That has and to then, be something else. Dinosaur sliders.
Knickers the cow. That's about the only one. You'd have to be a long-time listener to understand that one. And then we're going to talk with Mike Vasquez today. He is the president of BYB, Extreme Bare Knuckle Fighting. And remember, I think it was last week or the week before, we talked with Dada 5000, who's part of BYB. And Mike Vasquez, the president, I wanted to get more conversation about those slap fights that happen before the actual fights. I am so fascinated with those slap fights. Usually Russian guys just slapping. Everybody's seen this on the internet, right? Yeah. I mean, we talked with Dada about it. Yeah. I told him that I might start to cry. And then I wonder if he would still slap me.
What did Dada say? Did you slap me first?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, did you slap me? Did you slap me yet? So we have a loaded potato for you today. Let's get headlines here to start out the show with our own Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, the triangle.
The triangle.
The triangle.
The dollar bill, the triangle. The pyramids, the triangle.
Triangle.
I was down with everything Dada was saying, too. I was down with everything.
Bermuda, the triangle.
The mark I leave on your face, a triangle.
Triangle.
Hawk kind of mentioned everything I had for headlines.
All right. Well, let's get to weather. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
127-113 was the final versus Dallas yesterday. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Great text. Wasn't Solana supposed to start the show with Marcos's song?
Yeah, it's Cinco de Mayo, though.
But so what happened? We all agreed yesterday that Marcos created the new theme song for this show. We were going to start every show with it. And you've already come up with a loophole, not on Cinco de Mayo?
I mean, it's Cinco de Mayo. What am I supposed to do? Not start off the show with a Cinco de Mayo song?
I want to hear Art God Savvy with the Hawkman and Crowder theme song.
I second that.
Yeah.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Boca represent.
I lotioned my uncle's ankles one time. Yeah.
Did you?
The term pancake was copyrighted or something.
I need my fix. Monday from Friday to 2 to the 6. Hopman and Crowder, I tune in the bits. Competition going super intense. Both stations, man, I can't switch. Crowder don't quit. Hopman, I'm wrong. Download at odyssey.com. Shout out to Lana for bringing it strong. And everyone else that they bringing along.
Locked in, I'm locked in to the Hawkman and Crowder Show. Boxed in with no options. I still find a way to get my daily dose. I'm on a mission for jokes. I'm tuning in on the road. I pull it up on my phone. I pull it up while at home. Alexa, like, leave me alone.
Alexa, play Hawkman and Crowder Show.
I've had enough of you.
Boneless? Oh, no. It's a flavor, though, huh?
Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
I'm buttoning your shirt, Twan.
How did you talk about?
Yeah, buddy. Da, da, ya, 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 da, 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 da. Da.
That's how we start this show. Art God Savvy. Let's go. I want a help remix on that, too. Help!
Help!
Help! All right. Now you can... somebody texts in, Solana spent 30 of his 40 minutes on the sizzle last night complaining that his intro that Marcos did for him isn't special anymore. Oh, I see what you're doing. So you're just lashing out at Marcos. Now you don't want to play a song on our show. You wanted to Bogart it for your show.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm confused because Marcos got to play his intro on my show, and I thought that was very special. And, you know, he didn't thank me. He didn't post about it on Instagram. He didn't tell his friends about it. Nobody seemed to care. that, you know, his intro was the official Sizzle with Solana intro. And then, you know, we play it once on this show and he's posting videos. He's making stand-up comedy videos about it. Okay, Marcos. Okay.
Wow, it's real quick with Solana, man. He will turn on you. Instead of being happy for someone's success. Art God Savi did that song for us. I think it is a slapper. Follow him on Instagram. ArtGodSavii. Art God Savi. I think it is a banger. I have to tell you, Solana, I had to go somewhere after the show yesterday, and I listened to the Sizzle with Solana, and your gut segment is funny as hell. The sound effects are really funny where, you know, they launch up there and he's like, yeah, he's got the guts. And then you hear Pat Riley, he's got the guts. And then the other one, he needs some guts. It's really funny, man. I enjoyed that.
Guts.
I enjoyed that, man. You put on a good show. I enjoyed yesterday.
Hey, man, I'm a day one Sizzle guy, so yeah, I know what goes on.
Yeah. Ride and die with the Sizzle.
I'm always driving a 601.
I really was I really was joking. Marcos is a vital part of that show, so I apologize for not playing his song, and that won't happen again. I guarantee that will not happen again.
All right, there you go. All right, let's get to headlines because we're going to run out of time here.
Tim Hardaway Jr., he dropped 36 yesterday. The Heat. Ooh. Like Hawk mentioned, they'll play the T-Wolves on Friday. That's an 8 p.m. start time here in Miami.
Yeah, rest your starters in the fourth quarter on that one, Heat.
You.
You. Help! Help!
Help! You with this rest of starters. I need help.
What else?
9-3 was the final score in game one of their three-game series for the Fish yesterday over Arizona. Game two, 6:40 p.m. tonight. Pablo Lopez, our guy, he's on the mound.
Yes, pillows. Talk about it.
Coming up at 3, it's the second leg, the second semifinal of the UEFA Champions League. Chelsea versus Real Madrid. 1-1 was the score in Madrid. If that result holds, if no team score today, Chelsea will advance. It'll be an all-English Champions League final.
Somebody texts in, I said the guy from the Orlando Sentinel is going to join us, talk about White Castle. Somebody texts in anticipation of the only talk sports texts you're going to get due to the restaurant guy coming on, I'd like to encourage you by begging you to continue with your foolishness. Understood and agreed to.
No problem, homie.
No problem, homie.
Finally, guys, today's also National Hoagie Day.
Oh, all right. They call a sub in Philly a hoagie. You know, I enjoy a hoagie. I enjoy a hoagie at Wawa.
But a hoagie can't compete with Mexican food and liquor. Like, it's a terrible day to be a part of.
That's a good point. Why do they have National Hoagie Day on Cinco de Mayo? You cannot compete with that. I literally cannot compete with that.
I think it just lands on, like, the first Thursday of every May or whatever.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Okay, that makes more sense. All right. Anything else?
Is a hoagie and a sub the same? Are you sure about that? Isn't it different bread? Yeah. Different bread.
Well, I mean, anyone from Philly will tell you that a hoagie roll is the only way to have a sub, you know. But they're essentially the same thing.
Let's get to weather. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows will drop into the mid-70s. That's your weather.
All right, Danny Cannell is going to join us in the next segment. We love talking with this dude, and I figured we'd get his take on how the Dolphins did with the draft. So Danny Cannell next here on Hockman and Crowder. Hock and Crowder. Danny Cannell, he played quarterback in the NFL for almost a decade, and he can be heard now on Sirius XM, seen on CBS Sports HQ, and myriad other broadcast outlets. He does not stop working. He is joining us now. Hello, Danny.
What's up, Hawk? How we doing? Third time's a charm, baby.
We were going to talk to him on Monday. We were going to talk to him on Tuesday, and we finally
have
gotten it together.
You just kept getting bigger guests and better opportunities, and so finally, like hump day, no one's around because it's Cinco de Mayo. Everybody's out drinking already. You come to me on Cinco de Mayo, so yeah,
that's
so I appreciate
it. That's how we do it. All right, well, let's jump into it here. Danny Cannell, Dolphins selected, and I'm just talking the first round here. So just the first round, not an overall grade. But the first round, the Dolphins selected Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. What did you think of their first round selections?
Solid. I really do. I think it was solid. You know, it's funny. I got a bunch of Dolphin buddies because I grew up down here. I got Dolphin friends from across the country. They're texting me during the draft. You know, what are we going to do? Who are we going to take? Should we take the offensive lineman, Penei Sewell, who was still on the board? You know, can we trade up for Kyle Pitts? You know, all these opportunities were on the board. I think the Dolphins gotten Jalen Waddle, one of the most dynamic receivers in the draft. I mean, he's the fastest guy in the draft. And if he didn't get hurt, he might have had the year that Devontae Smith had and ended up winning the Heisman Trophy, who was taken later. And I know there's, and I do think Ja'Marr Chase was the better receiver of these two, but he's still an unbelievably dynamic playmaker that you can put out there for Tua, because with the Dolphins being all in on Tua, they had a choice to make. Do you give him a playmaker or do you give him the offensive lineman? It's a really tough call to make. I do, but I do think you can get adequate play at the tackle position. And you can find that a little bit lower in the draft. I don't know if you could find a playmaker like Jalen Waddle anywhere close to him later in the draft. So I like that one. And then Jalen Phillips out of Miami had a monster year. You know, overtook Gregory Rousseau, who had all the hype and then decided to opt out. The only thing that concerns me, and this happens all the time in the NFL, is you've got some medical concerns. And if they're not an issue with his head and some of the concussion issues he's had to go through in his retirement, then you're all good. And you could have an absolute megastar on your hand, but that's the risk you run. So from both a player standpoint of what these guys could be, but also from a need standpoint, I thought the Dolphins knocked it out of the park.
But Danny, speaking of those receivers, especially with that number six pick with Waddle, they had three. They end up trading back to 12 and, you know, giving the 49ers number three and all that stuff. They could have had Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, and they got Waddle. Was that a mistake to trade out of three? Because I'm with you. Kyle Pitts was my guy, not just being a Gator. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be a matchup nightmare in this league for 10 years to come.
Oh, trust me, Channing. I wish I could sit on here and say Kyle Pitts is a bum. He's a Gator. He went to Gainesville. Like, what a loser he's going to be. This dude, I think, is the surest thing in the draft to a lock, and especially considering what the NFL is turning into. I think offensive coordinators are realizing what type of talent they are, what type of mismatches they can present with the tight end position and with this hybrid tight end that we're evolving into. But I still think they needed more pieces, you know, and I don't think Jalen Waddle is that much of a drop-off from Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Kyle Pitts, that's the other one, but he was I want to say timing-wise of when he started to rise. Now, I liked him a lot. I don't think anybody predicted that he would have gone three when the Dolphins made that trade. So maybe they thought they could still get him, and maybe that was a misplay. But I'm with you. Like, it still hurts. Like, I would have loved to have seen Kyle Pitts in a Miami Dolphins uniform. But I think you've got to go with the hand that you're dealt, or the hand that you traded in for, right? I mean, you took some new cards there by trading back. But I still think the overall haul was worth that risk.
It's what makes the draft so frustrating at times, too, because I wanted them to get Kyle Pitts, but I don't want to root for a Florida Gator either. But then I end up rooting for all these Alabama guys, which I don't want to root for either, so... The only thing that I never have to worry about is rooting for an FSU guy because no one gets drafted out of there. All right? Anyone?
Asante Samuel Jr. is carrying the torch for us this year.
Hey, so you mentioned Kyle Pitts being a sure thing. You mentioned Kyle Pitts being like a sure thing. Is Trevor Lawrence, is there any doubt in your mind, having played the position, any doubt in your mind that Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback that came out and is going to be an impact player in the NFL?
Not for me. I mean, this is a player who's been, dubbed the chosen one, a la, LeBron James in football since eighth grade when, he started playing, started getting some attention. But much like LeBron James, he's lived up to the hype everywhere he's been. He won in high school and was, everybody's All-American, five-star recruit. Then he goes to Clemson, wins, you know, his freshman, true freshman year, and he beats Alabama in the championship game, bursts on the scene, and met every expectation while he was at Clemson. And then now as the number one overall pick, you know, kind of is on this trajectory to be that. He's got the skill set. I do believe in his intangibles. I think he's a great young man. I think he's got the IQ. I think he's got the arm. I think he's got the athleticism for today's NFL. The only thing that worries me, and this is with every quarterback that was selected, is his surroundings. Like Urban Meyer is, you know, this is his first step into the NFL, and you don't have a talent advantage in the NFL. It's designed to have parity. And when he was at Florida, he had better talent than everybody else. When he was at Ohio State, he had better talent than everybody else, and that allowed him to win championships. And I'm curious, you know, and you know, Channing probably can speak to this just as well, as what is his motivational tactics and his coaching style? How does it translate at the next level? And what type of staff has he created at the next level? If they do those things for Trevor Lawrence, if they have, you know, even an average bit of success, or they put good to, you know, decent to good talent around him, good system around him, I have no doubt Trevor Lawrence will fail. But if for whatever reason, if Urban Meyer's message isn't translating, you know, if he makes some mistakes personnel-wise, you know, going after all these former five-star recruits because he's familiar with the recruiting rankings and they miss on some of those, and they miss in talent evaluation, then I'm somewhat concerned. But I still would say if there's typically a 50-50 chance that there's going to be a bust with Trevor Lawrence, I would put it at 80% he's going to be a success. Like, I do not have that much worry about him being a bust.
And, Danny, my thing about that is actually getting drafted by Nick Saban, who failed in the NFL, ended up going back to college because he's the, you know, the best college coach of all time. They have to humble themselves. You're not a dictator. Mm-hmm. You can't go tell a 34-year-old 10-time All-Pro to shut the hell up or, you know, just run. Like, you can't yell at him like that. So, I don't know. I didn't play for Urban. I miss Urban by one. But I would say if Urban can humble himself and understand that you're a rookie as a coach, you have some veteran players on this team that have respect and have done this thing and probably got $100 million in the bank, then I think Urban can succeed, you know, on that path of conversation.
Totally agree. And like, that's where I don't know. A lot of college coaches have a God complex because they are God in college. Like, you have to listen to them. You have to do what they say. You have to take the marching orders. And that's changing somewhat. We've seen some pushback from players. But those coaches still have a lot of that mentality in them. And I think Urban Meyer has had somewhat of that type of mentality. But I don't think it was even as much as Nick Saban. I mean, Nick Saban is a unique individual, and his style is very unique. And it really works in college. But clearly, players didn't respond to that. But see, here's where I'm worried about Channing, because Urban Meyer is more – he's not really an X and O guy. Like, he's always been a special teams coach. He's hired his coordinators. He's been the motivational guy. Like – and while in college you can get players hyped up and get them to buy in and all this stuff, and you can ride that emotion, you know, to a really successful season, the NFL is a marathon. And you can't really just go on emotion. You've got to have some level of X's and O's, a strategy, a plan, a game plan, and you've got to have buy-in. And it's not so much emotion as it is building a roster, executing that roster on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So that's only the other. And then, college is talent acquisition. Again, that goes back to why I think Urban Meyer and Nick Saban were so successful. They had the best rosters in college football. In the NFL, you don't see that. The best roster is marginally better than the next one. You might have a much better quarterback, but 53 men across the board, you have a little bit of an advantage, but not the type of advantage you have in college. And I think that'll be an adjustment for Urban to make. And, you know, if he thinks it was stressful in college, the grind, wait till he gets to this level where it's much more of a grind. So it's going to be an interesting experiment to unfold. And, like, even when Nick Saban was taken, I would have said, you know what, I trust somebody who's won as much to adapt, and I think Urban will adapt. But you're right, man. He's got to come in there and kind of check his ego at the door because he hasn't done it at this level.
Danny Cannell is with us. All right, pull out the old crystal ball here. What are Dolphins fans going to see from Tua this upcoming season?
I think you'll see improvement. I think he's got to get better. I mean, it was such a unique offseason with COVID and all the things that we saw this past year. You know, he had Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, who was, you know, kind of a fan favorite, but also had played a lot of football. And, you know, I mean, you're always going to have a backup and there's going to be somebody competent there. But I think, you know, he realizes this is his team and the Dolphins have made that very clear. So I think you'll see improvement. And I really think, so this is the window that I think shortened somewhat. I think he has to show it this year. You know, I mean, if there already were rumblings of what they were looking else that was out there potentially, I think they want to see from Tua make those massive strides and do that. I'm still concerned. Like, I'd be happy if we saw 17 games, a full schedule out of Tua. And if you saw, you know, a little bit of promise and see more improvement and see a little bit more ability to push the ball downfield, because now you've got the playmaker on the outside to go along with the weapons you already have. And they're starting to create a pretty talented offense around you. So now you should take that next step. And I do think he will. Like, I think he has his limitations, and I think that can be frustrating at times if you're watching Patrick Mahomes or some of these other top-tier quarterbacks in the league. But he's got enough arm strength. He has enough athleticism to make those plays. Now he's got to go out and do it, and he has to prove it, because I think this is a prove-it year for Tua.
And Danny, you let me know, because you've done this transition, college to the NFL, and let me know if I've been lying to people, because I'm telling people it was so big in his career for him not to have OTAs, mini camps, you know, that lead-up. You spoke about COVID, that lead-up to a season for a rookie quarterback, throwing with his players and all. They really walked in the gym, met each other, and then played a game 3 weeks later. Am I putting too much on not having last offseason for these rookie quarterbacks?
No, you nailed it. I mean, it's so much. I think the biggest shock to your system, and I kind of laugh because we hear that term football IQ, or we hear about quarterbacks having a NFL-style system when they're in college, so it should help them with the transition. And I kind of laugh because they might have a few concepts that they're going to use in the NFL, but the amount they put on your shoulders from a mental side is astronomically different. I mean, it's just a totally different workload because you've got all day to study it. You don't have to go to class. You don't have only 20 hours. Or if you're at Florida or Miami, I know they sneak in 30, but at Florida State, we run a tight ship and we only get 20. But you have all you have all day. Like, that's your full-time job. So you're like thrown this playbook that is so much more intense, and you see defenses that are doing the same thing. So you've got to study the defenses more. It's the mental workload. You cannot learn that in a classroom. You can't learn it on a board. You can't watch it on video. You can't learn it on video. You can't learn it via Zoom. The only way you can learn is by repetition, and you get those in practice, real practice, not walkthroughs. Real practice and real games. So I think you nailed it. And that's why I do think you'll see a massive jump in improvement from Tua. Because, you know, the speed physically, yes, there's a jump. But, I mean, he's playing at Bama. He's playing with all these guys. He's already played with Jalen Waddle. He's played with a lot of talented players, speed, athleticism. To me, yes, it is a jump across the board physically. But the biggest jump that quarterbacks have to take is that mental leap that they have to take, knowing how to process an NFL playbook and then execute it. And I do think you'll see a vast improvement with that, with a comfort level. We hear that term, the game slows down. And truly, it won't slow down for another couple of years for Tua, but it'll be slower than it was in his first year. And that's what you want to see, so he can start processing and executing a little bit smoother.
Danny Cannell is with us. Don't they have a Whataburger up in Tallahassee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's on Thomasville
Road. Did you like it?
Headed out to Thomasville. It was a little bit too far for the late night runs. We had a White Castle that was closer to campus, and then
Wait a second! Wait a second! How did you have a White Castle?
It was Crystal Burger. Crystal Burger. I was in Jersey.
Okay.
Was White Castle when I was on the Giants? It was,
because
not that I frequented these, because I was on the TB12 diet early, but I do know there was a Crystal Burger that was right there on Tennessee Street that I. Yeah, it was those late nights, because you don't want to be driving around too late.
Did you see? I mean, you're the quarterback for the Seminoles in Tallahassee. I mean, you could pretty much do whatever you want. Let's be honest. You could have taken a Boeing 747 down the street if you wanted, and you weren't going to get in trouble. But I digress. Yeah, I'm sure Bobby Bowden would have been very upset that you went to Whataburger.
I would have had to run a lot of laps. Yeah. I would have done that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did you see what went on at White Castle in Orlando on Monday? Did you see this?
I did not. What happened? Fill me in.
So this is the first White Castle. That's why I was shocked when you said it. This is the first White Castle to open in Florida since the 60s, and it's the world's largest White Castle. It opened Monday in Orlando, and the line to get sliders was 6 hours long, and they had to
really?
Cap people's orders at 12 sliders. And I was just wondering if you were a fan of White Castle, but it sounds like you've had White Castle when you played for the Giants. And yep. had Crystal Burger when you played for the Seminoles. So do you like the sliders?
Oh, yeah. I love the sliders. I mean, anything tastes good at 2:30 a.m. after a night out in college, right? I mean, there were three spots. It was Crystal Burger, there was Taco Bell, and then there was a Guthrie's, which is a famous, like, chicken finger spot, like chicken fingers. That was only on the – you got a chicken box or a chicken plate. And that line out there was – 20 cars deep at 3 a.m. on any Friday, Saturday night in Tallahassee. Those were the spots. But, yeah, if that was a little bit too crowded, to go over, cruise over to Crystal Burger and pound about a dozen of those little mini burgers.
Y'all had Guthrie's in Tallahassee, Danny. We had Zaxby's in Gainesville. I got to say Zaxby's is better. You ever had a Zaxby's?
I have. A buddy of mine owns five or six of them. I know he's done really well. They've exploded since then, too.
Yeah, man, it's so, hard to believe so, someone would choose UM when South Beach and Coconut Grove are there, when they could go to Zaxby's or Guthrie's and Taco Bell up in Gainesville or Tallahassee. Jeez, can't imagine why someone would want to go to UM.
Cafe Risque was the draw in Gainesville. That's where Channing. That's what drew him to. That's what drew him to
right.
Gainesville.
What Channing called study hall.
Danny, I used to go to Cafe Risque all the time. And it's crazy because one of the dancers told me, just don't eat the potato salad. And I was like, why would she tell me that? And then she told me later on, he was like, the dude mixes it up with no gloves on with his hands. Oh. Do not eat the potato salad. Her real name was Lisa. Wait. She was a nice person.
Why'd you go there to eat?
You're there 4 or 5 hours, you get a little hungry, you know.
Yeah, funny, that's man. True.
Is there
that's
any
true.
Food, Danny Cannell, is there any food worth waiting, any particular location worth waiting 6 hours for?
No, I'm like, you give me a 45-minute wait time at most restaurants and I'm going to bounce. Houston, I'll wait around for Houston. And then the other thing, and this is the great thing about Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A, you think it's going to be 45 minutes, but with the double drive-up window and they're served, they're actually pretty good. Like, the most you'll ever have to wait at is Chick-fil-A is like 15 minutes. So those are the two places I'll wait for. Other than that, I'm going on to the next stop.
All right. So you don't miss Whataburger? You don't want to drive up to Tallahassee every now and then just to get Whataburger?
No, but you know what I have, actually? My nephew, he's like 28. You know what he got me on to? Whataburger has a spicy ketchup that you can actually order on Amazon. And so I actually use that at the house. Like, I got it come in 3-pack. They give me the Amazon. They send it right to me. Whataburger spicy ketchup. It's actually really good. I highly
Look
recommend.
At that. Yeah. Crowder and I had our first Whataburgers. It was like a year and a half ago. We were in Dallas doing radio for a fight out there. And I wanted to go to Whataburger. And I couldn't believe when they offered the spicy ketchup. I mean, what a treat.
You gave that young lady hell about everything and everybody in the damn store.
I was just asking her. I was asking her about the restaurant. I was trying to learn a little bit about Whataburger.
She makes $7 an hour. She just wanted to mop the floor, and you kept talking to her.
Everybody likes to have conversation. This is what I have found in my life, Crowder. You're too much of a grump. All right, Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell, thank you for making time for us, Danny. We always enjoy it.
All right, fellas. Have a good one. We'll see you.
There you go, Danny Cannell. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more Hockman and Guthrie's.
Hock and Crowder.
Somebody's been texting since we came on the air, all the way through Danny Cannell's interview. And there's a bunch of texts that come in. So I'm trying to create all the ones that are just from him. But they're all about Aaron Rodgers. And I didn't have time to get to it with Cannell because I wanted to talk about sliders. Yeah. But I was seeing all the texts, and then so one of them says, give any good reason why the Dolphins should not break the bank to get Aaron Rodgers. I know Hawk will be the contrarian just because he loves creating controversy. Well, first of all, I don't think my opinion on Aaron Rodgers would create controversy, but I said on our virtual draft party that I would give up anything for Aaron Rodgers right now. Yeah. Anything. I don't care. You give me Aaron Rodgers, I'll give up Tua right now. Give me Aaron Rodgers. How old is Aaron Rodgers right now?
Early 30s?
36.
No, I think, I'm about to say, I think he's my age. We were in the same
37.
Draft.
37.
Yeah, we're the same age. Ooh.
37. That dude could easily play another 5 years.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Easily play another 5 years. You tell me right now there's someone on the Dolphins roster or some salary you wouldn't give Aaron Rodgers. This ain't happening, by the way, Texter. I'm only giving you a little bit of airtime here because you have been very adamant about texting it in. I'm with you. I would love to get Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback that that played in the league last season.
And we know the Dolphins were talking to Houston before Watson got right into all this foolishness. Like, I'm sure Chris Greer, after you know, Aaron articulated his frustration with Green Bay, called to see what's up. Hey, what y'all talking about with Aaron? They're going to want a King's Ranch. I think it'd be 2-3-1s, 2-2s. Like, it's going to be something crazy. But
would you do it?
Hell yeah. With these weapons, Aaron for 5 years.
I would. Aaron, I really would.
We've been drafting you weapons and not knowing it was your weapons, Aaron. But look at all these young, talented
You're
guys
love
we
these
have
weapons.
For you.
Would you do that, Solana?
Yeah, that's hard to turn down. I'm sorry. That's just way too hard to turn down.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, his age is the only thing that would give someone pause, right? 37 years old. So even if he plays till 40, that's three more seasons. But what we've seen from Tom Brady and even Ryan Fitzpatrick, like these guys, like they're playing longer. And so I would do it in a heartbeat. I think that guy is the best.
Even putting Aaron in with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and I know Tom Brady is the defending, you know, Super Bowl champion. Aaron was the MVP of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers right now is the best football player in the world. Let's be honest. Like,
and if his coach had any faith in him, he may have gone to the Super Bowl rather than them kicking a field goal in the playoffs.
There you go. And if they drafted a damn offensive threat, and since they haven't drafted a player in the first round on offense since Aaron was drafted back in 05, the only one was Jordan Love, his replacement. They went straight defense for 16 years, whatever it is. And some years they missed the first round pick, whatever. But yeah, they haven't helped this man. And this man is a Hall of Famer, MVP of the league last season. Yeah, Hawk. I don't even think that's an argument if Aaron was available with the Dolphins call.
I wonder if that's a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion. You know, and again, it's not would you give up Tua for Aaron Rodgers, because obviously you would. The question is, would you give up three first-round draft picks, three second-round draft picks, and Tua and a defensive starter for Aaron Rodgers? That's like the real question. Like, is there a cutoff point? Like that texter was saying, I would break the bank. Like, to me, there's not really a cutoff point. If you can get Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, and I think you bring him down to Miami, it might extend his career just based on the weather. Text it in, listeners, 786-360-0790. Is that a popular or unpopular opinion that give anything to get Aaron Rodgers? Again, I don't think that he's really available.
No.
I don't think that Green Bay is going to trade him. I think the only way that they would trade him is if a team offered something that was incomprehensibly good. But why would you trade him if you didn't have to? But yeah, I would have no problem giving up anything and everything for him because you want a Super Bowl. When's the last time Dolphins won a Super Bowl? If you haven't noticed, they don't come around very frequently.
No.
So if that dude gives you a chance to get one, you may go another 30, 40, 50 years without getting one. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think I would have to think too hard about it.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do to the price. But Aaron, if he really does not want to play in Green Bay – I don't know if Aaron would do the – what was it? James Harden just said, I'm not playing for y'all. Y'all do what y'all want to. Like, if Aaron goes that route, I think the price might drop because other teams will know, like, Aaron's not going to show up for camp. So we need to give Green Bay what, you know, a little low ball offer and see where they come back. So I think as this goes further and further, the value of Aaron might go down because other teams are going to get wind that he is not going to show up for camp. I don't think Aaron's going to do that. Just like you're talking about, I don't think Aaron's going to move from Green Bay. I don't think he's going to big man him. But if he does big man him, I think that'll be the time to pull the trigger.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think we probably said this at the beginning of Tom Brady, where we started to go, oh, he would never leave New England. Like right at the beginning where you started to sense that there might be some trouble. And it was like, no, he would never leave New England. And then all of a sudden you're like, that dude's leaving New England, isn't he? You know, so maybe we're at that point in Aaron Rodgers in that conversation. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I would love to see him in a Dolphins uniform, Dexter. Don't consider me a contrarian on that one.
Brady started all this, man. Brady started all of this.
Oh, totally. Totally. It was like, yeah, for the hell with, you know, playing for the same team and it's a combination of me and the coach and the owner. It was like, nah, see ya, bye.
Yep. Then Deshaun got hot. Then Russell got hot. Now Aaron's hot. Yeah. Yep. Brady started something with him leaving New England, and I love it.
All right. 3 o'clock hour is coming up. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with a business reporter from the Orlando Sentinel about the White Castle that opened there on Monday. See if the lines have died down a little bit. We'll get your headlines as well. Quick break. 3 o'clock hour next on Hockman and Crowder.
Hawk and Crowder. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.